I want to welcome you to Wylie United Methodist Church, our first live stream video. As we are going through this coronavirus, I hope that you are safe and blessed at home. We've gathered a few folks here this morning to worship with you. We're going to have worship. We're going to have a children's sermon. We're going to have a sermon. And we hope that you are gathering your people and your family around the TV, around the computer, and watching this morning. We hope that you don't see a whole lot of things that are different. We think that most of the stuff will be very similar to what you see on Sunday morning. We are here and just with a few numbers, but we hope you are blessed, and we want to start our worship service this morning with some worship. Trevor, go ahead and worship with us.
This way today. And Father God, we pray you'll bless this time that we have with your Holy Spirit entering into living in each of our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm excited to be here today, and I just want to tell you, just to remind you, this is the day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in everything. So sometimes we forget to rejoice. So as I was thinking about what to share this morning, I was thinking about, what do you see in the sky at night? What do we see?
Stars.
We see moon. We see a moon, and we see a stars. So can we count the stars? No, I think there's way too many. I don't have time to count stars. So, you know, the scientists tell us that there are between 100 to 400 billion stars just in the Milky Way galaxy. But again, we really don't know, because who can count those many stars? But
Jesus.
Very good. Yeah. That is amen, but the Bible tells us that God counts every one of them, and he calls them by name. That is wonderful, isn't it? It says in Isaiah 40:26, it says, "Look up toward the heaven who created everything you see. The Lord causes the stars to come out at night, and one by one, he calls out each one of them by name. His power and strength are great." So his word tells us he knows their names. He has named them. But even though he knows those, do you know who else's name he knows? He knows our names. Every one of us, he knows our names. So he knows the stars and he knows our names. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that he can call you by name and he cares about you? He loves you. He knows what's going on in this world right now. And we can trust in him and know that he loves you beyond anything else. So today, what I want you to do after this is over with, I want you to get a piece of paper. And I just want you to fill it with stars, maybe 1, 2, or 30, or 40. And then I want you to write names of everybody in your family, because God knows everyone in your family. God knows everyone that's here today. He knows everyone that is all around the world. And so we want this to be a reminder to love and to pray for our friends and family as we go through this together, because God is bigger than any of this. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you care about us, and I thank you that your love is perfect and that you know us by name, and you are with us and watching over us and leading and guide us. And we thank you and we praise you and give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank y'all.
Well, good morning, church. I have to admit the getting down part was easy. The getting up part, not quite so much. God bless you in your homes this morning. I would like for us to recite the Apostles' Creed, and I would like to encourage you to verbalize that, to say that. There's something powerful about verbal confession. You know, God's word says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Now, I don't know what that does in the atmosphere, but I believe that can change the atmosphere. So, as I recite the Apostles' Creed, I encourage you to do that as well and try to verbalize that. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is Saturday morning, by the way, for us who are here recording this service. And yesterday I made a trip to the grocery store. That took me 3 different grocery stores to complete my trip. And, you know, as I was in the grocery store, the first one, HEB, was number one. I could just sense, you know, kind of maybe some panic and tension, you know, among the people. And people were pretty focused. They were looking for their items. I was looking for my items. And second stop was United on South 14th and found some more items. And to be honest, I was getting a little stressed, you know, just trying to get the things that we normally eat. So I was driving to Market Street, which was my third stop, and I was driving over there thinking about this prayer time this morning, and I was thinking about the presence of God. You know, he's not confined to a space. You know, David said, it doesn't matter where I go. You know, if I go to the highest heights or the lowest lows, to the very outer ends of the universe, God, you're there. And that's God being omnipresent. But, you know, as believers in Christ, we take that presence with us anywhere we go. We host that presence. And I was thinking about us needing that, us needing it here in this church, you guys needing that at home. And so I didn't even ask God for this, but I was sitting in the parking lot at Market Street, stressed. And I was just overwhelmed by his presence to the point where it brought me to tears. And I was thinking of the scripture in the Psalms, in his presence is fullness of joy. And I went in Market Street. I was happy. I was joyful and found some toilet paper. I stole some out of somebody's basket when they wasn't looking. You know, things were good. Actually, I didn't do that. But Church, I think that's what we need more than anything, an awareness of his presence this morning for us, tomorrow morning for you guys. And so I want to pray into that. I just want to ask boldly for God just to overwhelm us with his presence. And as I pray, I encourage you to reach out for that as well. I believe, man, for me, it was tangible. I could feel it. And it changed something in me. And as I walked in that store, I mean, we're the aroma of Christ. As I walked in that store, I just wonder what I radiated walking among the people. Maybe just me being there may have encouraged them. We need his presence, church. So reach out to him as I pray. Father, we love you. I'm thankful that, Jesus, you did not leave us as orphans. You sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And we desperately need that, more so than we know. And so, Lord, this morning, who's ever listening to this and who's ever in the sound of my voice this morning, I just pray that you touch them. Touch them with your presence. Holy Spirit, rise up inside of your church. Rise up inside of your people. And let them know that you're good. I just pray maybe you just kind of rub up against us to where we can feel that you're there. I think we need that this morning. Lord, change us from the inside out. And Lord, I want to speak and pray against discouragement. I want to speak and pray against anxiety. And Lord, I just pray for a holy calm, a holy peace to rest on your people. David said, "Oh Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me." He knew something was sweet. He knew something was precious as he encountered you. And Lord, you're never going to withdraw yourself from us. But Lord, there's something about us reaching out to you, making that connection, that causes us to encounter you in deeper and more profound ways. So help us, Holy Spirit, encounter you, encounter the Father through you this morning. Oh, we love you. We praise you, we worship you, and we adore you. Jesus, you taught us a precious prayer, and we pray that now. So, church, join me as we recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
That you
You probably weren't standing at home, but if you were standing, you may be seated. Well, this is weird, isn't it? But I tell you, I hope that you felt the same thing at home that I just felt right here. There's 10 of us in this room, and I felt the Holy Spirit in this place. And I pray that you did as well. I want to do something a little different this morning as we get started with my message. I want you to direct your attention to our altar table. I don't know that I've ever done this before, but there's a few items on the altar table that are symbolic. And I want to kind of point some of those out. First of all, we have the open Bible, which is a reminder that everything that comes from this pulpit, everything that we are about should jive with the Word of God. Should come from God's Word. And it is the living, breathing Word of God. It is God-breathed. And so we have that open Bible. We also have the cross, which is pretty self-explanatory. We base our whole faith on the fact that Jesus went to the cross, that he died for our sins, and that he rose on the third day, and that he lives today. Now, the candles, I was reminded before we started, just as a reminder, to light the candles. And the candles are a symbol of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is here with us. And I know that the Holy Spirit, I was in our prayer before we started this morning, I prayed with the other team, and I reminded them that God is bigger than the internet. He travels on the World Wide Web. Did we know that? He travels on the World Wide Web. So he is with you in your home right now, and these candles are a reminder of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to kind of point those things out to you. If you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I changed this message. I was in the middle of a sermon series when this coronavirus thing hit, and I felt led to change my message for today. I've been listening to what a lot of other pastors and churches and so forth are, what they're saying, what they're teaching, what they're doing, and I was inspired to change what I had planned for this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, we're going to read verse 7, but I want to set that up. God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and he starts off with the first several verses talking about God being this God of comfort. He is the God of comfort. And how his comfort to us overflows out of us into those around us. And so verse 7, let's read verse 7 together. "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Right now in this place, in every home that's listening to this message, you are a big God, and we trust you. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So this one verse I felt like had real significance. I want to break down three phrases that really jump out at me that I think are critical for us during this time. And the three phrases are this. The first is our hope. And we've talked about, I preached on hope a few weeks ago, that hope is for a Christian is not this whimsical hope that I hope I win the lottery, or I hope that it doesn't hurt when I go to the dentist. It's not that kind of hope. No, it's this hope that is founded on the promises of Christ, who he is and what he has done. So our hope is firm. Our hope is firm. I mean, it's not this hope that goes with the like the waves or with like the wind where it comes and goes. No, our hope is firm. And the last of the three phrases I want us to really unpack today is because we know. Our hope is firm because we know. Well, what do we know? That's today's message, to the title of today's sermon, what we know. I remember this was when I was a young man. I was in my early 30s, and I remember Cheryl and I went on our first backpacking trip. And so it was all new to me, and we were going to this site that was quite a ways. It was quite a ways out for a first pack in. And I remember I started getting a little nervous because we took a wrong trail or something, and the site where we thought it was going to be, we weren't getting there. And we just kept walking on this trail, and it was very, it started to get dark, which is not a good thing to be in the mountains with wild animals and nothing to protect you, and no light, no camp. And there was a guy in our group, and he was a little older than most of us, and was not in very good shape. And his name was Wes, and I'm not sure where Wes is today, but I remember Wes started struggling. And it's always been kind of my pattern. I don't know, some people like to be out in front when on a backpacking trip. I always like to bring up the rear and make sure everybody was okay, make sure everybody was okay. So I was in the back, and Wes began to struggle. And it's getting dark, and the trail is narrow, and there's a lot of dangers out there. And so we started taking weight off of Wes. Me and a couple of other guys, we started pulling some weight off of him to help him. And then we'd go a little while longer, and he was really starting to struggle. So we took some more weight and put it on our packs. And before it was over, we had Wes's entire pack off of him. You know, he was just walking. And I remember Wes saying, just leave me here. I'll be okay. He just wanted to lay on the side of the trail for us to leave him there by himself. And we weren't going to do that. But I remember the uncertainty and the fear of that moment. It's like, man, this is scary. I don't know if we're gonna get where we need to go. And the rest of the group, besides two or three of us, had gone on, and I didn't know where they were. It's getting dark. In fact, by this time, it was dark. But there was a few things that I knew. I knew, number one, that the rest of the group would not forget about us. I knew that we all had flashlights. I knew that we all had food. I knew that if we had to, we could set up a temporary camp and kind of somewhat have some sort of shelter. So I knew that there were some of us that could kind of hold it together. But the fear was there, the uncertainty was there, but there were certain things that I know and that I knew at that time. So what do we know, church? What do we know is true, is firm during this time of crisis? I want to unpack that a little bit. The first thing I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you, we know not to fear as this crisis will pass. We see it through history. None of these things last forever. We know that this will pass. So I want a couple of scriptures that tie into that. Psalms 23, which is probably the most well-known psalm. Two verses I want to highlight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So we understand that in the midst of this, the Lord is our shepherd. He will take care of things for us. And then verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you're with me. The Lord's with me. This shepherd that has taken us as his flock, he's with us. He walks with us through this time. So we don't have to fear, and we know that this crisis will pass. 2 Corinthians 4 says it this way, for our temporary and momentary troubles will not last. Did you know that someday people are not going to be hoarding in the grocery store anymore? That's coming. There'll be a day you can buy all the toilet paper you want to buy. It's coming. Our momentary, temporary troubles will not last, but they are achieving for us. There's something, and I said this in my email this week, they're achieving for us something. God is active. God is at work in the midst of this. We have to believe that. And not only is he active in doing things out there, he's doing things in here. Billy talked about it earlier, how just in his search for some goods yesterday at the grocery store, how that he felt the presence of God. That was a good and stirring thing, and I'm sure it deepened Billy's faith. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, speaking of our troubles. So we focus not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What's unseen is the Holy Spirit, God himself. He's active. He's with us. He's our shepherd. He's our Lord. He's our protector. He's the God of all comfort. And he's at work. And so we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. Secondly, what else do we know? We know to focus on what is unchanging. Sometimes I think that we get so consumed in the fear. And I tell you, if you turn, you cannot hardly find any channel now. You turn it on, all they're talking about is coronavirus. And that's good. We want to be educated. We want to be smart. But man, after a while, that stuff just starts weighing you down. It's like, can we talk about something else, anything else besides that? And so we focus on what is unchanging. What is unchanging? I'm just going to tick off four things here. God sees and cares about everything you're going through. He sees what's happening. He cares for you. He cares that you're going through this. He's with you. God hears and answers prayer. By this, I'm going to take a little note here, a little time slot, and tell you the screen that you're on right now, that you're watching this sermon on, there's several tabs. One of them is prayer. you, while this is streaming live, you can have interactive prayer after this has streamed live and we begin to replay it for anyone that wants to see it later in the week. There's a prayer tab where you can click on that, and an email will be sent to Billy, and he will email that out to our prayer team unless you tell him it's confidential. If it's confidential, then just a few of us in the ministry team will pray for it. But if it's not confidential, it'll go out to our prayer team. And so we want to be, we want to understand that God hears our prayers. He's active. He knows what's going on, and he will answer those prayers. God's plan, the third thing, God's plan is always better than our plan. He knows what you're going through. He has a plan. Sometimes I can tell many stories where I think that this is the right thing to do, and something ends up falling through, and then I see it's like, well, I'll give you an example. When I became pastor of this church, I had two other opportunities at different churches that I thought were going to materialize, and they didn't for various reasons. And I thought, at the time, I was very disappointed. I thought, why in the world? God, I've left my job. I've trusted you. I'm doing all these things to try to be obedient and try to serve your people, and these things are falling through, and I was very disappointed, and guess what happened? God sent me to Wiley Methodist Church. What a blessing that was. What a blessing it is for me. I don't know about you, but it's a blessing for me. Is this thing on? I had to do that once while I was preaching today. So God's plan is always better than our plan. We may be disappointed about certain things. We may be afraid about certain things. But God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. So just trust him. And God always acts out of his goodness for you, to you. God, I tell people all the time, sometimes I run across people, I can tell they're scared to death to surrender whatever it is that's going on in their life. They're scared to death to surrender that to God. And I tell them, you know, you don't have to fear, because God wants good things for you. He's not saying, hey, come follow me and watch how I can mess everything up. No, he wants to bless you. He wants to just shower you with his blessings. He always acts out of his goodness to you. So focus on those things when the things are uncertain. Thirdly, we know God loves you and is with you. God loves you and is with you. Now, that doesn't mean, when we say God loves you and he's with you, it doesn't mean that life is going to be this one big party and we're never going to have any struggles. That's not what it means at all. I'm reminded, this came to my mind yesterday as I was wrapping up preparation for this message. I remember as a little kid, I had this bike, and you've probably heard me talk about my bike before, but I had this bike, and back in those days, I don't know if you can even do it anymore, but I mean, I could just ride that bike anywhere I wanted to in the neighborhood as long as I stayed off the busy streets. And I remember my mom and dad loved me enough to get me a bike, and they loved me enough to let me have the freedom to ride it. Anybody relating to that? To the freedom to ride it. And I remember one day, I don't even remember what happened, but I was out and I was riding too fast, and something happened and my wheel twisted. And it's almost like, you ever had an accident and it goes in slow motion in your mind? It's almost like, my wheel turned and I'm flipping over the handlebars and I'm crashing and burning, and it's almost like it felt like it was all happening in slow motion. And I remember, as I think about that story, I think, well, but I hurt myself. I didn't break anything, thank goodness. But I skinned from head to toe. I was skin up. And I remember I was only a block or so away from the house. And I remember my mom heard me screaming. And she ran out and she came. You know, moms make it all better. She put some ointment on there and wrapped it up and made it all better. But I remember thinking, I had this accident. It doesn't mean mom and dad didn't love me because I got hurt. In fact, just the opposite. They loved me. They gave me my bike. They gave me the freedom to ride it and have fun. But sometimes things happen. This world, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but I've overcome the world. So it doesn't mean, when we say God loves you and he's with you, it doesn't mean that life's going to be easy all the time. In fact, we're going through a really difficult chapter in our country and in our world. Listen to these words out of Isaiah. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And Carlene talked about it earlier with the stars. He's written our names, even on the stars. He knows each of our names. When you pass through the waters, God says, I will be with you. And you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And I'm going to kind of add here, when the coronavirus comes, I'm with you. It's not going to overwhelm you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Church, we may be a time here where we're isolated in our homes and not really, they're asking us to not go out and do a lot of things, closing down restaurants and all those things. But I want to tell you, you're not alone. God is with you. And so are we. So are the people of Wiley Methodist Church. I want to take this opportunity as I close. I want to take this opportunity to say a couple of things. If you are afraid or in need, contact us. We haven't stopped doing ministry at Wiley Methodist Church. Ministry is ongoing. In fact, it's intensified during this time. So contact us if you need anything. It's so cool. You guys are such an awesome church. I've had several of you have contacted me and said, hey, if anybody needs a grocery run or if they need this or they need that, I'll do that for them and take it to them. We've got people that want to do that as well as our staff. Ministry goes on. We're here. If you just need prayer, if you need have any physical sort of needs. With that said, I also want to remind you that as our ministry goes on, if you've been in this church long, you know I hate talking about money, but we still have financial responsibilities. In fact, more so. Did you know Houses for Healing hadn't stopped? Did you know the food pantry hadn't stopped? All these things that we do, these ways that we minister, are ongoing. There's a couple of ways you can still give your tithes and offering. There's a button on your screen right there that you can click on, and it'll take you to our online giving. You can go to our website or our app. You can do it that way. You know, God doesn't just want to protect us during this time. He wants us to also serve. You know, that's one of the most powerful things about the body of Christ. When we love well, I'll say that again, when we love well, God is glorified. Man, love well during this time. Don't be an old crank in the grocery store. Man, spread a little joy. I know many of you will, you know, were shocked by the beauty of my legs earlier. But I want to tell you, I don't want us to lose joy. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to be joyful in the midst of uncertainty. Ministry continues. You're not alone. God is with you, and so are we. I want to invite Trevor and the praise team to come back as we close this morning. As they're coming back, just hear this prayer. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what we know, that our hope is firm because we know who you are. We know that your love is unchanging, unshakable, and that your love for us has a purpose, that you are with us. You have redeemed us. You have called us by name. We love you. Father, we love you for it. We thank you that you, your word says, and you have demonstrated, you will never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Trevor?
Oh, I'm a traveler, far from home. I get lost. Belong. day coming soon, where the old will be made new, and heaven's glory shines like the morning before our eyes. When we all see Jesus, when we all see Jesus, no more sin.
Contact us. You can contact me. My email is jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. So you can contact me if you need anything at all. Thanks for being here with us for this first live stream worship service for Wiley Methodist Church. Hear this benediction. Our hope is firm because we know Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We are dismissed.